whenever you're ready.
All right.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah, that was fast.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Another episode of It's All Bad. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
You nailed it. You nailed that one.
That may have just killed me. That's karma.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Interesting episode today. We are digging into the archives a little bit.
Digging deep
into the archives and unearthed some early episodes that we did with a guest, our friend Yuri, and
another guest, Justin Warfield.
Yeah, and another guest. Well, Justin Warfield's in there. Who else is in there?
Lala Sloatman.
Oh, yeah.
Lala. Yeah.
I don't think we get a story from her, but...
But she's here.
But should we get a little banter?
In spirit.
Yeah. Get a little banter.
Uh-huh.
And we just, we wanted to bring these back, and we also kind of came up with this idea that if people wanted access to some of these tapes and more, you know, from when we were earlier on figuring things out, there the audio quality probably is not quite, you know, as polished as...
Yeah,
no.
as a, but...
We started this...
Yeah.
Recording. We each had an iPhone in front of us, and we're like, oh, if we just record... to our iPhones and then cut it together, then, you know, then we'll be good. Yeah, then we'll have a fucking podcast, you know, which is so funny.
Yeah. Some of these are recorded on iPhones. Some of them are on shitty lab mics.
Shitty lab mics, right?
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that.
But the spirit of It's All Bad is strong.
It's strong. It is strong in these, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point, Charlie.
Fuck, the sun beaming in my eyes is strong right now, too. I'm not used to doing this during the daytime.
This is the first time.
Yeah.
Nice. And we got, we got some of those, and we're going to put some up on, what's the name of the site, Charlie?
Patreon.
Patreon. We're working on starting up a Patreon account, and we're working on designing some t-shirts and getting some gear on there. And then, yeah, we want to post all these early recordings, these early sessions of It's All Bad from the last few years, kind of uncut, and you can just, you know, see where we started
we
and where we came from.
We definitely have to call
from.
This It's All Bad Uncut.
Uncut.
Just, I've always wanted to have, if we ever make a t-shirt, we need to have one that says Uncut.
Uncut.
We just call these the European tapes. Danny, anything? Is that it?
That's it. I mean, we got some good stories. We have Yuri's Palm Spring story. Wait, is it a Palm Spring story or is it a... I thought it was like a Bay Area story.
Yeah, there's a Bay Area one and then there's also a Palm Springs one. Which
That's right. I missed.
I quite like the Palm Springs
one.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And this one's Nickerson, right?
Nickerson Gardens.
We got Nickerson Gardens. The Big Gulp car crash.
Yep.
Big Gulp car crash is one of Keith's...
Oh, yes.
I forgot that we hadn't... release that one.
We have. Oh man,
it's a good story.
Everybody, you're
it's
in
a, that's one of
good.
My favorites.
That's one of my favorites too. That was one of the first stories that Keith ever told me. That
it's
was like
so
in our
good.
Exchange of stories.
Yeah,
and I remember like when we first, you know, when it stopped just being like little snips and conversations, and we really all started to hang, me, him, and our buddy David, and went to the desert, and he started telling some stories, and I was like, fuck yeah, I love that story.
And then we take it home with one of my favorite stories. Which is the Screech birthday cake.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Yeah, because I grew up on that. You know, I mean, I grew up on that
show.
Screech.
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Well,
Saved by the Bell and Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace.
Oh, rest in peace, man.
Man, so fucked.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy.
I was like, maybe my first hero, you know? Like, I remember him getting drafted. I remember, like, you know, like he was just he was the man.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
I know.
He embodied, he was LA, you know?
So, such an icon.
So tragic. And everybody, his daughter and everybody else in that helicopter crash. Man, you just never know. Like, you never know.
So
you know?
Those choppers, man. Choppers, small planes, rich guy killers.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane, you know? But, his poor family.
Yeah.
Poor family. That sucks. Well, hopefully this will cheer us up.
Yeah.
These are some bad decisions that had, fortunately, a decent outcome.
Yeah.
And made for some good stories. So hope you enjoy and have a great rest of your day.
Nice. Let's get into it.
Got a DUI, and this is what's fucked, right? Because you know how, like, Uber and not to go on a rant, but just how Uber and Lyft have basically driven DUIs down in Los Angeles. Dude,
wow, it's amazing.
By thousands, from what I've gathered. Mm-hmm. Now listen, I'm not sitting here with the statistics in front of me, but they've taken to like they've sure. supposedly cut them at like in half, wow. if not by more. And which is great. But now they need that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, my friend who was up in Sonoma wine tasting, and over the course of 4 hours had 3.5 glasses of wine, which is a bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. That's a bottle of wine, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But and she's, you know, she's not a big girl, you know, she's a little person. But still, like, 4 hours.
Mm.
Like, that's not enough to be too drunk to drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, even at least in my estimate, 4 hours, no. And, you know, yep, gets popped. Wow. Has to go to 6 AA meetings. And part of me is like, do we either expand? Like, to me, it feels a little bit like a slap in the face to people who have actually really struggled. Like, it's just like, what good is it doing when someone stands up in a meeting and is just like, I mean, maybe it is, though. Like, because I think, I don't know, it was interesting to me. It's an interesting thing to be like, it's kind of, is it all the same thing? You know, like, do you have to be, like, you know, do you have to be the guy, the dad who doesn't show up with the, you know, like, you know, for the Sunday he's supposed to take his daughter to the big dance and he shows up, you know, and he's had a handle and a half of rum?
Well,
you know, like the after school special bad dad? Or, you know, or is it just that, like, or is it that you just made a bad decision in that moment? And when we talked about it, I don't think either one of us fucking, and we won't get into it on the thing, it's a long time, but when we talked about it, it was neither one of us really had a conclusion, including, you know, the person who it had happened to, you know, and I'm like, I don't know, like,
I think,
isn't it all the same shit kind of at the end of the day? Like,
well, I think that the thing is, like, I mean, I think, like, if you're, well, I, let me preface it with this. I've been in prison with many dudes who were in there for fucking, you know, drunk driving and killing someone.
Well, that's fucking crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think I'm not, you know, like, I don't even have any DUIs, and I've been arrested driving high on speed several times.
Right.
And that, you know, not once did they charge me with driving.
I've driven high way more than I've ever driven drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, but, and I've driven drunk plenty in my life.
So I think
I just don't do it anymore. You
know, I do think that there's, and I think Daniel will agree, we do get people sent to us who don't think they're alcoholic, who end up realizing they're alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other side of the coin is there's also plenty of them who come to the meetings and then they're not alcoholic and leave. There's also people who come not court demanded and are sober for years and then start thinking, like, you know what? I'm not alcoholic. Like, I'm not, I'm not a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I do things alcoholically. It's not like I have a physical addiction to it. It's a mental thing I can't fucking stop. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But, you know,
no,
but
I do
there's
know
people
what you mean,
who,
of course.
Who, not many, but some are able to go out and do it.
I've heard the greatest story ever, you know, from a dude. And I don't know if this is even true or not, but it's just one of those stories where I'm like, this is fucking amazing. About a dude who, I don't know if he got a DUI or whatever, but, you know, had to get a court card, kind of like what she does, where she, courts, he has to go and get those things filled out. So this dude gets busted, whatever, you know, has to go to, they're like, go to AA and get this thing fucking filled out, you know, or whatever meetings, you know. This guy sells coke. So he goes and he tells one of his customers, he's like, hey, he's like, go to the fucking, he's like, hey, just go for me and get this shit signed, you know. I'll give you a gram every fucking time you go, right? So the dude's like, all right, fucking, I'm going to get a free gram out of this. The dude starts going. He gets it signed. That guy ends up staying sober. The guy that was not the guy that fucking, you know, that got the court card, but the dude that was just going to get a free gram out of fucking, you know, he heard something there, and he's like, dude, this is fucking, you know.
I think I know that dude.
Really?
I think I've heard it.
Well, isn't that interesting, though? Because, you know, there's so many different, like here's the deal. I would never, ever in a million years say to anyone with a straight face that I didn't abuse alcohol.
Yeah.
Or that I didn't abuse other chemicals. And if abusing them means using them at all, maybe that's part of it. I also think it's part of it is like using them for a specific purpose. Like, there's not a question in my mind I would be, and I hate it when people bullshit about this shit, is that, like, you know, when I have a pop when I go home, it ain't because just fucking I love the taste of that Martell cognac. You know what I mean? And when I have a pop after work, it's to take the fucking day off the edge, you know? And it's interesting because it's like, what's the difference between a heightened, concentrated series of bad decisions made that actually call for a wake-up call, or the low, slow burn when you're, you know, like a buddy of mine's dad, just when you're on your boat and you're rich and everything's fine, but you're still drinking like half a handle of fucking pop-off out of a plastic jug, you know? And everything's fine. Your family's cool. Your life's fine. Like, things aren't out of control. No one's intercepting. No one's saying a thing. That's fascinating. That's the fucking rub, right? Like, that to me is a rub of, like, of the, I don't know. There's just some kind of a thing in there that I don't understand, that I know that is confounding. I think it's confounding generally.
Well, I think that, like, you know, I think I speak for, and I think the way Danny and I drink, or do coke,
here's
the difference.
That's the difference. I gotta say one thing, man. I haven't stepped up to the meth mic in a long fucking time. Like, the last time was a buddy's wedding, and I was 03. So that was the last time I faced down that I thought that was a good idea, long before someone was like, you know, you have high blood pressure. But that said, that hot whatever bigsness there, I wasn't excited for you to keep talking about any of that, because I was like, God damn it, that's like saying somebody doesn't want to eat meat and you're talking about fucking, like, just, so yeah, we got this place where you go, they'll blow veal up your ass. You know what I mean? Like, you can take the baby cow's life yourself.
I can tell you, I've known you, we've been friends for a long time. I've been around you drinking and smoking marijuana in different, you know, parties and whatnot. Yeah, but yeah, here is the difference, and I'll tell you what it is. You show up here to work and you do your job and you drink after you're off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've watched you. I've known you a long fucking time.
You've seen me.
I've seen you fucked up.
Oh, you've seen me confused.
I'll give you two different things. Up,
just low, totally
Danny
confused.
And I probably wouldn't make it to work. And secondly, like, Danny and I, we're doing our thing morning, noon, and night. It's a 24-hour process because we're doing things to escape. Yeah. You know, so I get it. You're doing it to relax. But, I mean, we have to shut our heads off.
Oh, no. I think you give, no. And I haven't always shown up. I'll just say that. I mean, I show up now all the time, you know, and I've shown up in the past at times all the time, but there's been some times where I have not shown up, and it is definitely, no, it's, you know, maybe that's me. See, that's good. I'm glad you fed that back to me.
You also have
that's
a good
me spinning. You know, I'm a good bullshitter.
But you also have a good time when you're drinking.
I do have a good time.
Yeah, see,
I do have a good time. Oh, yeah, I have a good time. Mm-mm.
That's why we brought you here, Mike, because this isn't really a podcast. Danny and I have a nice place. We have a nice place in
Lake Orion, Florida.
And Charlie's going to take you to Burbank Airport.
I fucking love Florida. I love Florida. I was thinking about that. Anyways. All right. So let's. No, that's interesting. And I do. But I think it's something we should continue to revisit in this thing, because I think it's something that people are afraid to talk about. And I don't think that they talk about it in a very human way most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't. It gets like either clinical, or people are like nervous about offending somebody in the way that they say something. Like, that's the one unique. That's one of the very unique things about our group of insane people, and including the guests, is like, they don't offend easy.
Yeah.
Like, they're people who are not afraid to share their foibles. And, you know, if that means, like, I don't know, like, those foibles seem to me at the end of the day, if I were to write it all down on paper, feel like some of the most interesting things about my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anyway, all right. So point being is, Daniil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Do you know that? That grip, Mark.
Sounds familiar.
All right, so he went to Fairfax, and then he moved to Palm Springs, right? And I knew him. He was a bit older than me. And we went to see Lesson Zero at the Abco Cinema, right? And we literally walked out of Lesson Zero, and I was working at Papa Rico's Pizza at the time, and walked out of Lesson Zero, and me and my friend Mark were like, who also worked at Papa Rico's, he was going out with this girl, Nika. I was going out with this girl, Irit. And the four of us came out and we were like, Nika's mom had a place in Palm Springs. And we were like, let's go to Palm Springs.
Of course.
So we stopped at Papa Rico's and we talked to Eduardo, who worked in the back. And Eduardo had the hookup, right? But we had never really pulled from our Eduardo's hookup before. But like somehow we couldn't get our connect and we wanted to buy, you know, a fair amount. So we go over and we meet with Eduardo. And Eduardo's like, really? We're like, yeah. So he goes, and I buy an 8-ball, and Mark buys an 8-ball, and we go and meet Eduardo, and Eduardo was like 40 years old. Like he was like a man. He was like a grown ass man with a family who like slung pizzas at Papa Rico.
Yeah.
Right? He was not a drug dealer. He didn't fuck with drugs. For some reason, he had this crazy hookup though, right? And so we took him up on this crazy.
So he was a drug dealer. Well, with drugs.
He didn't though. That was the weird thing. I mean, if you saw Eduardo, you'd just be like, nah, dude, this isn't his thing, you know. But he had mentioned at one point, hey, if you ever, you know, my friend, blah 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 blah. And we're like, well, let's hit up Eduardo. Let's see. So we go and we meet him. It was like nearby, like Bonnie Bray, like kind of Hoover, like down. In that area. Yeah. He lives there. He goes, come to my apartment. Well. He goes in. We go into a parking garage, the four of us. We're like, dude, we got to fucking hook this up. We got to get to Palm Springs already, you know? And Eduardo breaks out this 8-ball, right? And we think it's 2 8-balls because it really is not an 8-ball. It's way more, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so he gives me what I think is both of them, right? And then I'm looking at it and I'm like, God damn. Like, I'm like, holy shit. This is like, you know, and it's chunky and it's just like, you know, and I'm like, God damn, this is a crazy fucking hookup, Eduardo. And then he gives another one to Mark, right? And I'm like, oh no, this is going to be crazy. This shit's going to be crazy. So we go up and we're just like gacking out the entire road out there. We're really feeling the Less Than Zero spirit.
Right. You know
what I mean? Like any of the cautionary tales that come out of Less Than Zero.
Love is that you went to see the movie Zero, which, albeit, you know, I mean, not that tapioca of a story for a movie that was positioned kind of like, oh, if you enjoyed The Breakfast Club,
yes,
you might enjoy.
Of course,
like, for the same 17-year-olds that enjoyed The Breakfast Club,
you're going to enjoy the thing.
The 19-year-olds will enjoy.
There was nothing I wanted to do more after walking out of Less Than Zero than do cocaine. Period. You know, that was it. We were on a mission. Like, we were like, I know that dude dies at the end, but fuck it.
You know,
we're going to go cop.
What a shirt. Beautiful Gaudier shirt.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So we go up there. We get into Nika's mom's place, and we realize, because her mom had just gotten it, there's no furniture. All right. So it's just a condo that has no furniture in it. Right. And it's just white. And white and white, and we're just like, this is so fucking weird, but who cares? And we just keep gacking and gacking and gacking and gacking. There was one glass table that was in there. Everything else is just, you know, I mean, there's nothing. There's no dish. There's nothing.
Chairs?
So, I don't know. I remember us sitting on the floor and just doing lots of blow, and at a certain point being like, I don't even know what to do with this anymore. I've never been in this situation where I have so much of it, right?
Yeah.
But of course, like always, we run out.
Yeah. Right?
So we run out and now we're like, fuck, man, we're in Palm Springs. Oh, this is the other thing. No air conditioning. Right.
Ooh,
somehow they had not. Somehow the air didn't work. Right. So it's just hot and white and cokey in this place. Right.
Yeah.
And then we run out. Ooh. And instead of going home, like that's when you go home. Mm-hmm. That's when you drive home. Right. Yeah. But instead we were like, dude, we got a cop. So Irit, my girlfriend, used to date this dude, Mark, right? She's like, well, I could call Mark. And I'm like, fuck that fool. We're not going to, what? What do we need Mark for?
Yeah.
You know? And then Mark's like, my friend Mark, the other Mark, Mark's like, well, dude, I mean, he is in Palm Springs, you know? And I'm like, ah, fuck it, whatever, fine. So Mark shows up, Mark, 2 or 3 hours later, right? We've just been fiending. And it's my girl's ex-boyfriend, right? He's now coming to serve us, right? And I'm not feeling so great about it. Like, I'm just sort of like, whatever. Like, who is this fool? Fuck him. And he then, I'm away. I don't know what happened, but I know I walk up to this table, right? And I see this long line, right? But it's yellow. you know? And I'm like, that shit looks crazy, you know? And I was like, what is this? And he was like, oh man, I don't have Coke. I don't sell Coke. I only sell speed, you know? And I look at Mark, the other Mark, and I'm like, and he's just like, go for it. So I take, and I, what I didn't know, and I'm kind of feeling myself at this point, right? I didn't realize, so I take this entire line to the head, like, and about halfway through, my face is just become paralyzed, okay. You know? And I'm like this, and then I look up, and everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, I can see in everyone's eyes, like,
they're bummed.
Did you just take that whole fucking line? And Mark, it's yeah. like, dude, did you take that whole line? And I was like, I thought that line was for me. That was for everybody. And he was like, that was for us all to party, you know? And I was like, oh my God. So he breaks out more. They party. My face is frozen. And dude, I don't sleep in this hot place for like 48 hours. Like,
sweating.
There is nothing. I'm in hell at that point. It just becomes like white. God. Oh, like, God. Like I'm in an insane asylum. Like I'm literally in an hot insane asylum in Palm Springs at that point, dude. It was so disgusting. And everyone else sort of was like in moderation and they were able to sleep at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I'm just on one. I'm just like, just wound so hard and so sweaty. Mm-hmm. And it was just not a good day. That was it. Anyways, but then years later, he turns out to be a grip. And I'd see him on Jobs. And I'd be like, Mark, that's crazy. And to bring it back, he's rockabilly, dude.
No way. Yeah,
rockabilly guy. Circle.
Tonight, we're going to tell you some stories about booger sugar, vehicles, and trying to travel across different parts of California.
We have a new guest, Justin Warfield.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Warfield in the house. I've known Justin
Hello.
Twice as long. I've known you a long time. But Justin, I've known for fucking ages. Actually, you guys actually only know me sober.
Yeah.
Whereas Justin knew me way BC.
I know. Yeah. I know. Clucker, you're.
Yeah. Just clucked out. Cluck. So good. Yeah. So Mark, you remember Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna try to recap a tale that involved me. I was smoking a lot of crack. Let's just start there. And I feel like I drove up to help my friend Mark and move from Los Angeles to San Francisco. So we got some money from his mom. And you know that story, right? We got some money from his mom. We were like, oh my God, it's amazing. We filled up the tank of gas in this U-Haul-ish van. And we drove up there. And of course, we left with a fair amount of dope that we smoked on the way up. And then when we got there, we immediately made our way to Oakland and we just got exposed to like a whole new grade of crack cocaine. I mean, it was just like Oaktown real shit. And we were like, wow, okay. So we get him settled in his place. We start unpacking and we then just proceed to smoke up everything. And I felt like I'm going to keep $20 on me because that $20... I can't even believe I kept $20, but the $20 somehow in my mind was going to be enough gas money to get me home, right? And I had to get home too because I was starting a job on Monday, right? So I was like, okay, well.
What was the job?
I think I was working for this guy named Bill Carruthers, which will be a part of a whole new other story. You know, Bill Carruthers. I don't even know if Bill's still alive. If he's still alive and he's listening to this, thank you, Bill. So I had to start a job on Monday. And now it's like, I think this whole adventure probably started on Thursday, right? So Thursday night goes by, Friday night goes by, Saturday goes by. There's no sleeping. There's just lots of crack cocaine, lots of sweat. It's summertime. It's hot. We're kind of unpacking his place, trying to get him settled. And then I leave with that $20 in and a full tank of gas, mind you. But I haven't slept for about 3 days and I'm driving now from San Francisco. And this is, you know, this is before Waze. and before any kind of navigation. And I don't know about you guys, but if you don't know where you're going in San Francisco, it is very hard to actually just get out of the city, you know? Like, I've been up for days, and I'm driving around San Francisco, and I'm making wrong turns, and I can see the Bay Bridge, and I know that I need to get onto that bridge, but I cannot for the life of me get on to the Bay Bridge, and I'm running in circles. And finally, after probably an hour at least, I've added an hour to my trip. I'm just trying to stay awake. And then I get onto the Bay Bridge. Now I'm on the 5. I'm going home. I'm going to make it. But now all of a sudden, all of the thing, now I'm by myself. Oh, also, big key, no radio. So there's nothing. There's no radio. There's no music. There's nothing. There's just me and my thoughts.
But is this the Ghia?
No. This is a rent. Okay. This is a rental.
Wait,
like,
it wasn't
van.
You have a Corvair.
I had a Corvair. Dude, this is Corvair time. Yeah. This is Corvair time. It is. I have a Corvair waiting for me at home. Yeah. But right now, I have.
Oh, this is a rental van.
This is a rental van. Ugh. And it's a cargo van.
Ugh.
It's a cargo van. It's hot. There's no AC and no radio. Ugh. And I'm just driving down the 5. And you guys know the 5. I mean, the 5 is just a long stretch, right? And now I'm driving and I'm starting to nod out, right? And I'm literally falling asleep while I'm driving. And I'm also feeling like I need to drive faster, because the faster I drive, the quicker I'm going to get home. Right. So now I'm like, OK, I'm just going to step on it and I'm going to fly down. But I'm falling asleep and I'm waking up, and I don't know if I've been out for like 5 seconds.
That's the best.
Or like,
you have no idea,
two or three or 4 minutes.
That's the best.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm literally waking up and I'm like in a new town, you know? And there's nothing that's going to keep me awake. And it's hot air, you know, it's the summer. So it's like, I got the windows rolled down. I'm trying to put my head out the window, and it's just hot and it's just disgusting. So I do notice at this point, though, that I'm probably going to die and I just need to sleep. So I pull over. And I just curl up in the back of this cargo van.
Are you on the freeway?
I'm on the 5. You know, I'm just pulled over on the 5 on that highway. And it's stinky because it's got all that cow shit around. You know, it's like you pass through certain areas and it's like, and it's hot as fuck in there. And but I'm so tired. I pass out and I wake up about probably 2 or 3 hours later. And I'm so wet. I'm so drenched in sweat. And just disgustingness, right? And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to get home. So I get back on the road, I'm driving. And all of a sudden now I'm starting to notice too that my gas tank is getting lower and lower. Now I'm like, all right, fuck it. I put the $20 in, right? And it only kind of moves the needle just a little bit, right? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I'm not really thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just going to keep driving. Like, I'm going to keep driving. I'm not going to deal with it. It's a wonderful metaphor for my life at that particular moment, right? Like, I'm just running on empty and I'm not dealing with it. And I'm just going to keep driving fast, you know, and that'll get me there. So I finally end up in, like, I want to say it's Needles, but that wouldn't make sense. It sounds good, but it's completely wrong part of California. But I'm in the stick. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I've got now an empty tank of gas, right? I have no money on me. And I've been here before. And I'm like, I'm just gonna ask people for money, you know? And I'm not very successful at this point, because I look crazy, you know? I mean,
how long is the hair?
The hair, oh, such a good question. Such a good question. So I have real, I mean, as you may know, I have no hair now, but at that time, I had a lot of hair, right? And at that hair, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, long hair that I had probably in a couple of braids. Yeah. That would make sense, right?
Yeah.
Especially if it's hot. Like, yeah, I might have those.
It's not going to be all on your neck.
I'd have it in the braids and maybe up in a high bun, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I probably have, like, so I got a high bun of braids. I'm in a gas station. I got a cargo van. I haven't slept for 3.5 days. I'm stinky. I'm real sweaty. And I'm asking people for money.
Are they rave clothes?
I might be wearing some JNCOs. I might have some JNCOs.
Because I wanted to just know the diameter of the leg opening of the pants.
I love it. I love it, Justin. That is such good color
for this story because it's true. You know me. We were hanging out at that time. It's a wide leg.
It's a wide leg.
There is no, you don't know if I have shoes on or not. It's all the way down.
But they also, just to point out, they also might be slacks.
Oh!
They might be dress slacks of a crazy size.
Yes, they could be. Yes, they could be some vintage 1930s high-waisted.
Yeah.
Multiple pleat jammies all the way down, thick cuff, almost a zoot suit type thing, but without the peg. Anyways, I think though in this case it was probably way more Janko style, you know.
So tight.
So I'm asking people for money. No one wants to help me, and rightfully so. I look like a freak. I am a freak at that point, and I'm like, "Fuck, what is gonna happen?" And I go up to this family, and I'm like, "Hi, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm stuck here. I'm trying to help my friend move, and I'm a Lunchspiel," and the guy just kind of looks at me, and they're in a station wagon, and all the kids, there's like in my memory, there's like eight children all staring at me through the window, kind of going like, "Get away from this, my father," you know, and I'm just kind of waving at them and smiling and trying to not be like, you know. I think also here's another little thing: my spiel that I would have and when I was at a gas station asking for money, I usually was offering to do their windows. That was like another thing, because it was like there was some sort of like an added value, you know, where it was like,
I'm providing a service.
I'm going to
wash your
windows.
You don't have a squeegee or anything. Are you using the JNCOs?
No. I got the squeegee from the gas station. Of course. I got gas station squeegee. I'm looking like I work there. But in my mind, I'm looking like I work there. I don't look like I work there. So anyways, I'm really at a breaking point at this point, though, because I got to get home. I got a new job I'm starting tomorrow, right? It's getting dark now, and I'm just out, man. I'm out. And this family, and it's also not a lot of traffic at this gas station. I mean, it's one of those, like, off the side of the road, there's not a lot of volume going on. I don't have a lot of opportunities. So this family, at that point, says no, and they leave. And I'm like, oh, man. And at this point, like, I'm just trying to, I've run out of options. Like, I got nothing. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, am I not going to make it back? Like, then you start getting into, like, what the fuck have I done with my life? It's 3 days of, like, being cracked out. And you're just broken at that point, you know? And you're just thinking about where you've been in the last couple of days. And you start, like, making those stories. You know what I mean?
What would have happened if I actually would have put aside $60 instead of $20?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Which, you know, you did. You know,
I'd be
I did.
At home sleeping.
Like, I had $60, and then I was like, how much do I really need to go back? Maybe $40. Let's get another dub, you know? And then after that, when you're like, let's do one more dub, I'll keep $20. It'll probably work out, you know? And here I am in the gas station now. Now, just when I'm thinking, like, oh my good God, how am I going to get back? All of a sudden I see some lights come up, and it's that station wagon, right? And I'm like, thank the good Lord. And that station wagon pulls up, right? And all those eight kids are looking at me, and now they're kind of smiling, and I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? Dad gets out and he goes, you know, we were just praying about it.
Oh my God.
And we all took a vote and felt like we wanted to come back and help you. And I lost my shit at that point. I just broke. I'm just crying. This is God. God has spoken to them to speak to me to get home and start anew. Yeah. You know, this is it. This is my ticket. Literally. And they gave me the money to fill up the tank. I want to say at that point it was $40, right? So he gave me $40. And it might as well have been $4 million at that point. Like, it was so meaningful to me, and it just shook me. And I filled up. I was bawling. I was just like, thank you so much. I thanked God. I prayed about, I mean, the whole thing. Like, I was like, this is a miracle. This is a bona fide miracle. And then I said, you know, I'm going to send this money to you. Let me get your address. I'm going to send this money to you.
Of course.
Right? Okay. Yeah. So, of course, yeah, right? Yeah, so yeah. I get that address.
Write down your address.
Let me get your number, right? I wrote down that address. I started my new job. It probably took me, now if I tell you it took me 2 years, right? Know that it probably took me 4 years to send it back to them. And I, that was it. I made it home. I started my new job. with Bill Carruthers. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Bill Carruthers if you're listening. And that was it. And
were
I made it home.
Working for Bill Carruthers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bill Carruthers was actually amazing. I remember I was so clucked out working for Bill Carruthers. And Bill Carruthers was like, he was a real, he had an office. He was probably about 65 years old, incredibly tall, and just incredibly handsome. Like Silver Fox, mahogany office. He drove like a BMW coupe. And I remember one of the jobs that he would give me was to go wash his car. And so he would walk in and he wouldn't even look at me. He would just throw the keys at me. Ugh. And I thought it was amazing. I mean, I kind of thought that was great. And I would take it, being clucked out. I'd go wash his car.
Where?
And then maybe I'd go cruise.
Where'd you
a
go?
Little bit. I'd probably go to 3rd Street, uh-huh. right? Because we were working on Larchmont. Uh-huh. So I'd go up to 3rd Street and I'd get the car washed. And then maybe I'd go cop. With his car, because I'm like, dude, maybe I go see a girl, maybe I go see a homie. I'd be gone for hours in his car.
Car's clean.
Car's clean. I'd come back. He gave me a pager that I thought was great, and so he would be like texting me. I mean, paging me, and I, you know, maybe call him back. But I'd show up. You know, car wash should take maybe an hour tops. I'd come back like 3 hours later. And then I remember though, once he asked me, he called the office. And said, I want Yuri to come down. It was the first time I ever washed his car. When I went down, I was like, oh, shit. What is this? I come down, and he's standing there, and he's just looking at me, shaking his head. And I come walking up. I'm like, yes, sir. Is everything okay? And he goes, you want to tell me something? And I was like, and at that point, it could be anything, you know? Like, he could have found a crack pipe burning a hole through the fucking seat. Sure, yeah. He could have found, you know, anything. And he's like, how tall are you? And I was like, I'm 5'8", 5'9", maybe, you know? And he's like, how tall am I? I go, you're very tall. I mean, I don't know, over 6 feet. He goes, do you fucking think I can sit down? And this, you adjust the seat and you don't fucking adjust the seat back.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, right? So I adjust the seat. Oh,
fuck Bill Carruthers.
Bill Carruthers is amazing, right? It's incredible. So I was like, woof. I mean, if it's just that, yeah. Like we're in good shape. So then he puts the seat back, right? I put the seat back, he gets in. And then he starts the car and I had had it on K-Day and I had not turned the volume down. And all of a sudden, as he turns it on, it's just like K-Day just bumping.
Super
and he just looks at me.
On 11.
Exactly. And he just looks at me and he's like, God damn it. And he just turns it down and screeches away. And I feel like that happened like in the first couple of days. And it never got better. It never got better. I had that job for maybe like 2 months. You know,
matter, Bill, you don't like Arabian Prince.
Exactly, Bill Carruthers. Anyways, so that was it. I made it back from San Francisco. I worked for Bill, and I'm here to tell the tale. All right. So what are you thinking now, Keith?
I have a shorter story on driving. Can you hear me?
Yeah, please.
It wasn't as exciting as yours. And I wasn't trying to be a service
Come
to everybody.
On.
But so... What year is this?
You got to get up on the mic, man. It's called proximity effect. The closer you get, the bassier it gets. There you go.
So,
you want that Barry White shit, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. By the way, while he's getting warm, have you seen that Teddy Pendergrass documentary?
No.
Woo! God damn! Shout out to HBO right now. I mean, that fucking documentary on Teddy Pendergrass. It's amazing.
Wow.
You can watch it now. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
So I'm going to guess this was like 1991 or 1992, but it must have been like 91. And there was this kid, these two kids, they were like 17 and 18, Chalice and Richie. Right. And they were like best friends and shit. Yeah, they were like blonde, like Emil Hirsch looking motherfuckers, like, you know, surfers, skateboard kids or whatever. Uh-huh. Anyway, so I don't know. I met them somewhere and they were like, they would come by and get crank from me and they'd fucking sell it to everybody. You know, and I remember like I would be sitting there high and shit and like, are they selling it at school? What the fuck are they doing? You know, because they'd always be coming by. And they worked at the car wash, right? And I think I told you this before, but I don't know what happened. They missed me in the morning. Like, can you come by the car wash? And I'm like, yeah. And I pull up at the car wash and you know when you're, I hadn't been there, but I knew they worked there.
But apparently they had like all the other car wash dudes doing speed. And you know when your car's done, they start spinning the fucking town.
Yeah.
So I pull up and Chalice like waves to me. And when he does, every other dude driving a car stops and starts like yelling. Yeah. Like literally.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck. You know, I'm just all sweaty and shit. And I go inside and they're like, you want car wash and shit? You know, and then the manager dude who's like, looks like a dude out of Coen Brothers film. He's like, hey, you want some, what kind of air freshener do you want? I'm like, dude, I just want to get out of here. You know, like, really, no whatever. Yeah. Right. So I leave. These two join the Army of the Marines. And so
Chalice
and Richie. They joined together though. And then like, so I hadn't seen them for like, I feel like they went to the military for like a year and a half and I went to prison for a little over a year. And I get out and, you know, like when you're burning people, like, you know, when you're like, I've been up for a few days and people just start being like, I got to go to bed or whatever. And mm-hmm. I'm fucking, you know, trying to push through. And, but I get all bored and I was by myself and I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the fucking 24-hour Walmart, right? Mm-hmm. And which is in fucking Rancho Cucamonga, which is, you know, like, so I drive out there and I'm walking, you know, just like pushing a cart, you know, buying weird shit that I don't, you know, fishing lures and tools and shit, yeah, but anything, whatever, shiny things. And I'm like, and, but I'm fucking out of the fucking cut, out of one of the aisles. It's probably, I don't know, 1 a.m. or something. And out of one of the aisles, I fucking like, I see Richie. I'm like, Richie. But he has like the military haircut and the whole shot, right? He's like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, nothing. Hey, how's the military? Blah, blah. He's like, yeah, it's great. Hey, you got any of that shit? And I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, are you allowed to, you know, you're in the, isn't there kind of a rule against that? I'm like, you know, like, and they're like, no, they don't test us and shit. I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. So he's like, come over. I'm like, yeah, when should I come over? He's like, now. I'm like, yeah, all right. So we go to this apartment just they have.
Buying fishing lures. Yeah. Yeah, like, I'm pretty free.
Yeah. I don't fish. I don't have any poles. But so we go back to their apartment in Rancho Cucamonga. And it's like, so like, we go to these apartments and we're in Chalice is there, whatever. And they're like, they're home, you know, they have an apartment, but they're, I don't know if they were in the reserves at this point because they would have to still do shit or whatever. But so we start doing speed and shit and it got weird fairly quickly. And so fucking, so one, the thing I like, the Richie really looked up to Chalice or whatever. And then like, and written out, these are really their fucking names, by the way.
I just love it. Richie looked up to
But like, Chalice. Like Richie named his son Chalice, you know what I mean? Or whatever. For real. Square business. So then we're there or whatever. And like, and one thing, like, one time, like, I hear them fucking, like, yelling upstairs, you know? And it's like, and I'm like, fuck, man, they're blowing it. And I run up and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? You know? And he's like, fucking Richie, you got to talk to him, man. He's losing it. And I'd given him, like, a half ounce of crank, which is quite a bit, you know? Richie. And so I go up to talk to him. I turn in the bedroom, and Richie's there. And it was, like, one of those, like, I don't know if it was a water bed, but it was one of those, like, black lacquer, like, fucking Nagel-era beds. Mm-hmm. And had, like, louvered mirrors in it.
Wow.
And he had pulled the mirrors out and had them lined up on the floor. And he had like a really, really long line, like probably 3 feet long, like on the mirror. So it went like mirror to mirror to mirror. And he's sitting there on the floor chopping this shit and chopping it. And there's a 5 gallon bucket like with water. I didn't know it was water, but I was like, and I'm like, yo, what's up? You okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. And I'm like, why are you and Chalice fighting? He goes, every time I fucking try to do something good for myself, that guy fucking gets in my way and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and what he's talking about. And I go, what do you do? He goes, he told me I shouldn't do this in one line. And I was like, and he goes, and I go, well, I go, you know, you probably shouldn't, you know? And he's like, I'm not going to. I'm going to do half up each nostril. And I go, what's with the bucket? And he goes, that's to dunk my head in after I do it, right? I'm like, but he's dead serious. There's no joking. And I'm like,
he's got that
listen,
system.
So I talk him down off the thing. So the next day, what they cool out. The next day.
You're still there. You know
that. Oh no, fuck, I wouldn't leave for days. But also, like, you know, these guys are smoking it, so they're a little bit more I wasn't real paranoid. I like the excitement of getting out of the house. So I'd been in there a little too long. And I'm like, so somebody's like, hey, yo, can somebody go pick up Mandy's friend from Covina, right? And I'm literally like, fuck, pick me, coach. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Cause you know what I mean? The blinds have been down. We've been in there for like 72 hours and shit. I'm like, I'll fucking, nobody wanted to go. And I'm like, I'm in. Know? So I take, Chalice has a rent-a-car, and it's a small Toyota Tercel, or that's what it was, like a two-door, had, you know, hand-roll windows, didn't have air conditioner or whatever. So I climb in the thing, And I'm going to Covina, and I go, where am I picking? This is like you're saying. It's like before, like, you know, cell phones and all that shit. And he's like, I go, where am I going? He goes, oh, you're going to this hair salon in downtown Covina. And I was like, oh, I go, fuck, I grew up with the girl who owns it. And she, you know, if she sees me, like, they all know that's bad fucking news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like kryptonite to a decent human being. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, you don't want, oh, you're hanging out with Keith?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh yeah, her aunt owns it. I go, well, that's even fucking worse. Right. You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
So I was like, fuck. I'm like, they go, okay, go down, whatever. So I drive down there. And I did sleep a little bit because I remember I hadn't been awake that long. Like, I feel like it was about 20 hours I'd been awake. And so I get there and I'm in downtown Covina and it's fucking like July or August. It's super fucking hot. And I am fucking, I'm sweating like a hot dog, right? And I'm like, I fucking pull up.
Sweating like Whitney Houston.
Yeah. And I pull up. I go to the payphone. I call there. She answers and I'm like, yo, I'm out front or whatever, right? And she's like, okay, I'll be out in 20 minutes or some shit. So I'm sitting there in the car. Keep in mind, like, the Covina police station is at the top of now, like, three blocks away, right, on the same street. And I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting in the car, and I'm just wearing, like, a wife beater and jeans and, like, engineer boots, which is, like, the Covina version of the JNCO fucking jeans. And I'm like, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I mean, I'm just fucking sweating, you know. And, you know, yeah, the fucking booger sugar doesn't help either, you know. It's like, so I'm just sweating and shit. I'm like, fuck. So I'm like, so I get out and call her again. I'm like, yo, I mean, it's been like fucking 40 minutes. And I'm like, dude, you got to hurry. Like, I'm fucking dying out here. So I get back in the car. And then eventually I took my jeans off. So now, and for some reason, I don't know why. This is before, I don't know where, but like I'm telling you, I like buying neat shit when I'm on speed. And I had a pair of American flag boxers on.
Yes.
So now I'm wearing the American flag boxers, the wife beater, and the engineer boots.
That's like Def Leppard style.
Yeah. It, like the drummer of Def Leppard. Exactly like that. So I'm sitting in there.
Except sweating in West Covina.
Yeah. Yeah, with no money in the bank. Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, so I'm like, I'm sitting there and fucking finally she comes out. But dude, it's been like over an hour. And I mean, I'm fucking, you know, like that, how the heat just fucking pulls the fucking everything out of you when you're doing crank or speed or any of that shit. So she gets in the car and but by now it's like fucking 5 o'clock, you know? And I go down and I'm going to get on the 10 freeway. I'm like, you know what? I'm like, I'm going to fucking pull over at my friend's house so we can send a couple so I can get fucking lit back up. Right. So we pull over at my friend Lori's house and I'm like, yo, I'm like, let's get down or whatever. So we all snort some of this shit or whatever. And we get back in the car and the girl's a hairdresser and the girl with me, her hair's like, you see it now sometimes too, but when they like kind of like, she was a Latin girl and then she'd kind of dye her hair like a burgundy color. Like,
oh yeah.
It's kind of burgundy.
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite, but like, you know, like a reddish color. Like, and so we snort some of that shit. So we get on the 10 freeway, but it's a fucking parking lot because this fucking dummy was in there so long, you know? So we're on the 10 freeway and I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, I'm starting to get exhausted. And it's just like, you know, when you start like nodding out at the wheel and I have a thing I call the hat trick. So
what?
I don't ever let my falling asleep at the wheel go more than two times because the hat trick's when you're going to fucking crash, you know?
Wait, what?
Hat trick means three.
Oh, hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
But I'm like, I don't want to get a fucking, so we snort the shit. We get back on the freeway and then I'm like, fuck, I got to get off the freeway. So I get off the freeway and I go up, like cut my way through like Ontario and there's a street called 8th Street and it's really in the middle of nowhere. We stop at the 7-Eleven or whatever and get something to drink. And I'm like, and I felt kind of okay. It's weird. I didn't feel real exhausted, but I didn't feel like $1 million. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the first time you do coke or speed, it's like winning the lottery. Yeah. You feel that. It was nowhere near that because of the heat. So I'm driving on 8th Street, which runs parallel to the freeway. And it's like, and there's train tracks just, I don't know, you know, 50 yards north of it. But there's nothing really on either side, like housing wise. They're all a little ways away. But I'm driving and I nod. And I fucking get back and not again. And I knew I should have pulled over, but I'm like, I'm going to make it or whatever, you know? And the next thing I know, I just hear Keith. And I fucking open my eyes and I fucking went to hit the brake and hit the gas.
Oh yeah. I've done that.
And next thing you know, I'm waking up.
Oh God.
And I fucking come to, and I'm like, and I look and she's just fucking laying there.
Oh God.
Like, hunched over the fucking center console, like all this fucking blood in her hair and shit, and the airbags have went off. The airbag knocked me out, but I'm like, oh my, I mean, I fucking killed her. Oh my God. So I climb out of the window and people are stopping. Are you okay? But I'm trying to cover my face and shit because I'm thinking I gotta go to Mexico or whatever. And I'm like, And I'm like, yeah, we're fine. But, I don't realize, like, I'm wearing American flag boxers and engineer boots. And I'm like, reaching through the window, trying to get my fucking jeans out of it or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, we're good. So finally she comes too, right?
We're good.
She finally.
Don't worry about us. We're good.
She comes too. She's alive, right? And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. So we're walking and I'm looking at her and I'm like, I thought that was blood in your hair. She's like, no, it's that fucking Big Gulp. So she had like a Big Gulp full of like Dr. Pepper or something. The airbag hit it and it drenched her, but it just looked like blood because of the color of her hair. And it was like reddish and shit. And like, but we're walking and we're walking and then like, dude, we're walking fast. I can hear sirens and shit. Yeah. And then she's just like, Keith, what the fuck? What the fuck? It starts hitting me and shit, you know? Yeah. So we split and I cut down this fucking through this. Yeah, we split apart, and I went, I'm just trying to get the fuck out of there, but I'm looking for, like, you know, some kind of residential neighborhood or something to walk in or whatever.
With your American
No, but I have boxes. The, I put the jeans on.
Oh, you put jeans on. Okay, yeah. Good.
But the people stopping.
Totally normal.
Yeah.
Adjusted underwear.
Yeah. So I cut down this, into this fucking residential neighborhood. I'm walking, I'm just like, you know, I was, because like a straight street on Archibald, and it's like. It was weird, like a wall got really high, you know, like a retaining wall. Mm-hmm. So that, I'm like, fuck, there's nowhere to go. It's like being in the joint. Mm-hmm. And then I cut in this neighborhood and I see this like blonde lady, like probably like 35, you know, like doing her lot. And she's the only one that's on. I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, can I use your phone? Me and my brother got in a fight. He threw me out of the car and she goes, no. Right. And I'm like, okay. So I just keep walking. And then she goes, hey, come here. I'm like, fuck. So I go back and she's like, here, you can use my phone. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so I call, and what I do is I call Chalice, and I step away from her, and I go, report that fucking car stolen. You know what I mean? And I hang up, and he goes, what? And I go, just report that car stolen, crash. You know what I mean? I'm like, so I hang up, and I'm like, fuck. And then she goes, do you need a ride somewhere? And I'm like, sure. I go, can you just take me? And I didn't really know my way around Ontario, but we were cooking speed in a house in Ontario at that time, and it was on a street called Tam O'Shanter. That's the name of the fucking street. I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
The only reason I could remember the name of it is because it's Tam O'Shanter. And just to give you a little backstory on this house, like I had, right before I went to prison, somehow I ended up at this house and the lady had just gotten on drugs. Then I went and did like, I did a prison term, got out. And my friend's like, hey, do you want to go with us? You know, we're going to go burn one or whatever. I'm like, yeah. And dude, she's getting off the freeway. You know, it's a year and a half later. She's getting off the freeway and working her way up. And I literally look at her. We have a whole fucking meth lab in the car. And I look at her. I go, please tell me this fucking house isn't on Tam O'Shanter. You know what I mean? And she goes, it is. It's so-and-so's house. I'm like, fuck, dude. I'm like, you picked me up from here like a year and a half ago. I'm like, this fucking house was hot then. You know what I mean? Like, fuck. And I'm telling her, I'm like, this is a bad idea. Right. Anyway. So we had been cooking dope in this house, you know, and like, and but the craziest thing, so that the housewife lady who gave me a ride, I had her drop me off at this house, right?
Tam O'Shanter.
She drops me off at that house. Yeah. 2 days later, that house gets raided and is on the news. And I've always thought, like, what was that? That woman dropped me off there. And it was on every fucking news channel. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She was just probably like, what? That's that fucking house I dropped that loser off at, you know? Like, but.
Tam O'Shanter.
Tam O'Shanter Street.
That's amazing.
But and that's the same house where I told you I woke up with the purple smoke.
Oh God.
Where it was really beautiful smoke, but it wasn't purple nice.
Haze.
Huh?
Purple haze.
Purple haze.
It's funny when you say Big Gulp car crash, it really buries the lead. Like it literally is a story about Big Gulp car crash. Yeah. But you don't know what to expect until all of a sudden you get to the Big Gulp car crash.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I wish it was what it sounds like, which is like you spilled a big gulp on your balls or something.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's what I think.
You can get past it,
and
stay alive. There's really nothing that can really fuck with you.
No. Have you ever leveled with your family about?
About, I mean, I'll never. I mean, it's never come up that.
Well, because here she is on the phone right now.
There it is. She knows. I mean, in retrospect, too, it's like, I don't even know. I mean, it was
my mom today.
I did stuff in. I mean, it was just like she would find glass pipes in my room, and somehow I could convince her that it was someone else's. I don't even know what that is. It's be like, what do you mean? It's like a straight shooter. Like, what is this? What is this right here? And I'd be like, I don't know. Where'd you find that? In your room. What do you mean? This is under your mattress right here. And I'd be like, it was? I don't know. Maybe it was. And I always had a buddy that I would always blame it on.
There's that buddy, yeah.
It was, in this case, it was either Mark or it was Yoon. And it was always like, that might be, it might be Yoon's. And then Yoon always blamed me for shit. You know, so when he got busted for stuff with his family, so at a certain point we weren't allowed to hang out with each other because we were always like, you can't hang out with you. You know, he's always bringing pipes into this house. You know what I mean? And it was always like back and forth and so on and so forth. Like, he couldn't, that was it, because he was my guy. Yeah. You know?
Mine was Rocco. It was Rocco.
Rocco.
Rocco. And then Rocco, yeah, when Rocco turned like 19, and my mom would always ask about him.
Rocco,
like,
Rocco?
Huh? No, different Rocco, yeah. The one that I got the green dot for, so you get a phone in prison. Like, he was like my best friend from, you know, we went to Bancroft together we went to Fairfax.
Yes.
And like, we just, you know, and then like, and he was always that guy. He was always like, and his dad was like super punk rock. He ran that, do you ever hear about the Drunk Tank? That like house in Echo Park. And like all the punk rock dudes. So that was his dad's property that like burned down, and all these punk rock dudes used to throw shows there and party, and like that was the spot, you know, like the punk rock
that
spot.
That was his dad.
That was his dad. Wow. Yeah. So his dad didn't care, you know, his dad was totally chill. And I could just blame everything on Rocco. And then like one day my mom was like, hey, what's up? Like, whatever happened? Because we were always hanging out, and I like, she would always like catch me slipping with him. Like, it's after school, like, I don't want to see you with fucking Rocco again, you know? That little fucking shitbird, you know? Like, he's always getting you in trouble. I'm like, I know, Mom, but like, you know, we go back. We're so close. And like, you know, she would pull up to pick me up from school. And like, there I am hanging out with Rocco. And she's like, I keep telling you. And it was like, right when I think I turned like 18, he got busted. That was his first like prison sentence. She was like, where's Rocco been at? I was like, oh, Mom, Rocco's in prison. Where's the prison? Right.
Totally.
Oh, fuck. You know, I told you. I told you.
Yeah. It was still you. Oh my God. Dude, we could do a whole episode later on that friend. Because I know we all had them. Like,
mine was David Fry. Friend. David Fry was always like, even before I wasn't really doing drugs in high school and shit. And I smoked a little grass. It was right. Like, it just was hard where I lived in Rhode Island. It was like we were in a suburb. And if there were not people in our neighborhood and you didn't have a car, you're like, what am I going to do? Fucking go find pot in the woods?
Right.
You know, from the nymphs and elves and shit. You know? So it was kind of tough, but the one kid a friend of mine had, he was always getting in trouble. It was always something. He was always like, if there was a fight at like a school, like a whatever, what a dance it? Or going out with a bunch of kids, like from the time, his name was David Fry, and a really nice kid, but I if you're out there, David, I used to blame, you know, and he had an earring. Early, like, you know, this is hoop. This is like 1983, like an earring. Yeah. My mom was just like, oh my God, what is his obsession with dicks? You know, like, why is he so obsessed with dicks? He has to show everybody with an earring and he doesn't love that dick. I'm like, no, Mom, it's cool. Like, you know, everybody's got earrings. Like, David Bowie's got, wait a minute. He would come around and I kind of knew that was like going to be that guy. Like, and we were friends up until college, you know? And then like, I just knew that he was good. I was like, okay, this is in the back of my mind. Like, that's what a fucking degenerate demon I am inside, is that I was like, David Fry is going to be good. Like, if shit goes down, if I fuck something up, like, because my from the very beginning, he had a little diamond too. It was like a real one of those little tiny. Remember that flood, dude? Let's not get it twisted.
That's crazy.
Let's not get into it. I don't even know if you can call something that small a diamond. Yeah. It could have been a diamond. It could have been a little piece of gum. Yeah. It was like a little fleck of sand. And he had that thing. He was like, oh, check that shit out. I got this down at the Spencer's Gift. And I was like, yeah, that's fucking silly. And but from that moment on, my mom was like, is David? Is he cool? And I'm like, what do you mean, is he cool? Like, she was just like, no, man, which ear is it, the left or the right? I'm like, Mom, don't worry about it. But from then I was just like, but I got you. Right. I got you. We were out late. Why are you back? You know, why are you back at 1 o'clock in the morning when you were supposed to be here at 10 o'clock in the evening? Right. And it would just be like, I was out with David and these guys, and we just, I wasn't my car.
I think I was the dude that everybody blamed.
Yeah. I'm sitting here trying to come up with it. But I'm drawing a blank.
That's fucked up. That's it. Yeah.
Because I know I'm trying to think, like, the first dudes I started getting low, like my friend Scott Stuvey, his parents thought I was a bad seed. I had a friend named Pat.
Bad seed.
My friend Pat Day, who, me, Pat, and Scott started like smoking weed together in like seventh grade. But I tried to find him not too long ago. I was trying to look him up somewhere. But I remember, I knew he came into a bunch of money because a doctor was drunk and removed one of his testicles when it was supposed to be some other operation. For
oh,
real.
Oh, day.
Shit.
Wait.
That's man. That's
okay.
Mad.
Hold on. Rewind.
Yeah.
The man took his testicle on accident.
Yeah.
Straight up on accident, dude. That's fucked up.
How much money was it?
Yeah, exactly.
I think he got 80 grand.
Oh, that's not worth
that's
it.
That's not testicle.
Dude, 80 hey, grand. 80 grand in like 1988?
Not worth that nut?
Yeah. 88, any of us would have given up a ball
dude,
for 80
yeah,
grand.
Exactly. 80 grand today, you take the whole kit.
I'd be like, yeah.
I'm not doing anything with it. Just take it right from the root. Take it right from the root. Just leave clean margin. Because I don't want to fucking get, I don't want any cancer down there. It's not cancer. I'm just saying, like, you know, this fucking thing is
from the roof.
Yeah, it's parked. Let's just say this car is parked.
That's incredible. That's so amazing. What, Scott Day?
Scott Stuvey and Pat Day. Scott Stuvey's grandfather was who founded the Altadena Dairy.
No way.
Yeah, they were. Wow. I mean, I was a fuck up
rich
going around, but
fuck,
at least
dude.
I was locked up a lot. But you know what's weird is they weren't like
that milk money.
I don't know if they sold it early on because I mean they weren't like living in the hills and shit. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't like that, but they weren't hurting. They were like, because there's a lot of really wealthy fucking people in Covina and West Covina, like in the hill. I mean, the people are filthy fucking rich in the hills.
Yeah.
Like, but
dude,
I'm drawing a blank.
I was thinking about recently. There was a time when this guy that I used to buy dope from, I had stopped doing dope and was like, I'm just gonna sell it. And I was like, okay, so hold on.
Which
a dope
fiend. It's a genius guy.
It's a genius guy. Because I'm like, I don't smoke, so I'm not gonna smoke it. So it's fine. And then all it takes is like to be faded one night, and then I'm just like, I wanna smoke some rock. And then you're sitting on all this fucking dope. And then you're like, right. So that had happened, right? And then this guy that I had, that I knew, and knew as a customer and then as a colleague, he gave me a different price for a substantial amount of rocks, you know? But now all of a sudden I'm like, fuck, I've smoked it all. Now I owe this dude money, you know? So then I was kind of dodging him for a while, but you know, it's like five square blocks. It's like Cochrane and Pico to Olympic and La Brea, which is where I work every day, you know? And it's like, I'm delivering like in his building pizzas, you know? And I'm trying to get enough cash to like do the thing. And I see him and he's just like, and dude, he was amazing. His name was Chris and he spoke like with a lift a little bit. So his name was Chris, his Chris Mack. And Chris, he thought that he had a little bit of a high-pitched voice, like Mike Tyson. And dude, but you didn't fuck with Chris. Chris was a real dope dealer. Like Chris was like, you know, like he would be like, Yuri, don't disappoint me.
No.
I'm gonna hook you up, but you can't disappoint me. Real shit right there. And I'd be like, I'm not gonna disappoint you, Chris. I'm done. He's like, you ain't smoking that shit no more. And I'd be like, no, I'm not. And he'd be like, okay, all right. Because if you're smoking that shit, da 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 da. Anyways, that's how Chris talks.
Yeah.
Horrible impersonation. In my mind, that's how Chris talks. And he drove he had an amazing, you know those Impala SS?
Yeah.
You know, so he had one of those. The 90s ones. It was incredible. He had that, and he had a couple of Suzuki,
GSXRs.
Yeah. Exactly. And this dude was crazy. He'd be fucking flying down. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that a, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he would just be like flying down Pico doing wheelies. Like he was crazy, but he was amazing. And I knew him from Fairfax where we went to high school. So anyway, so one day though, right, I'm like smoked out and I hear this knock and it's like 2 o'clock in the fucking morning. And I live with my mom. Right? So it's not like he's showing up to my place. He's showing up to my mom's house, right? To basically collect. Like, I've disappeared.
Yeah.
I owe him $700
or
something, you know? Which at that time, I mean, like, that might as well be $70,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To come together with, like, $750, like, I'm never going to get $750. Like, how could I possibly smoke? And like, I've never delivered enough pizzas.
In the years, you know what I mean? where it was unclear if you would ever in your life own a television.
That's it.
That's what I realized about 25. Like, I wonder if I will ever own a television. Yeah. I had a television. I came out here to LA with a television.
Incredible.
And I had it. I kept that TV for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And then guess what? I sold that TV. Totally. Okay. Maybe I'll never own
I'll
a
never
television.
I'll never have a TV again. Like, that's it. And so for me, I'm like, how am I going to have, I deliver pizzas, right? I work
Sorry,
as an extra.
Funny the way you said
I work
it.
As an extra
like you're doing
on the
math. Were you writing this shit out as you were like,
totally.
Okay, number
I'm
one.
Like, how the fuck?
I work on Saved by the Bell.
I work on Saved by the Bell. I get $200 a day, which is a lot of money, right? But then after taxes and the thing, I'm just like, and I got to smoke that. I'll never get ahead, right? And now I got Chris at 2 o'clock in the morning at my door collecting, you know? And so my mom answers the door. Right? And I'm hiding smoked out in the back room. Like, what the fuck? I mean, this is my worst nightmare. You know what I mean? Like it might as
so
well be
So you're at home with your
team.
Mother,
yes.
And you're smoking
yes.
in the house.
Yes. Oh, yeah, every day. I mean, that was it. It was like, I lived in the back of the house.
I thought you said you were undercover.
I was, but I was undercover in the back of the house.
Right.
But like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Undercover
right.
from my friends, but I still lived at home. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't have an apartment. I mean, I just...
And were there no... Let me just ask this one question.
Please.
Were there no friends... Like, were there any friends that you were open with that existed in your other side of your life? Or was it only the people that existed on the drug side that you would be like, oh, yeah, I got to do it?
I didn't really spend time, with, spend anybody time with anybody that I didn't do drugs with. Right. You know what I mean? Like, those were my friends. Those were
right.
my people.
Okay, cool.
You know?
Right.
So I would, like, go out and maybe drink with them. But also, like, at a certain point, you also have weird drug relationships with people where you're just like, well, I'll kick it with you, and I might smoke a little bit with you, but I'm always going to go home with my own shit, and I'm always going to have my thing at the end of the night or the morning or the whatever. Like, you have these, you know, these rituals that you go through. Mm-hmm. And so... Part of my ritual was solitude, smoking rocks in the back of my mom's house. And so now, and also being so spooked.
So
I mean, I was so crazy when I would smoke rocks. Like, I would be like, no one wanted to smoke with me because I was fucking crazy. I was a bad trip. Like, you didn't want to hang out with me. I'd be like, did you hear that? One hit, dude. And I would just be like, you hear that? Dude, no, stop, chill out. I mean, it was horrible, man. It was just like, it was fucked up. So when I was by myself,
sounds fun to me.
Hours could go by. I could stretch two dimes for, I don't know, a long time, right? Anyways, so all of a sudden, Chris is at the fucking door, and I'm like, I'm smoked out. My mom comes knocking at my door, and I'm like, what? What's going on? And she's like, your friend Chris is here? And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is crazy, you know? Like, fuck. And I go out, right? And I go outside. Now I have to, like, Chris is like, what's up, Yuri? And I'm like, oh, my God. So I got to go outside, right? And my mom's window, like, so she goes back up into her bedroom. Her bedroom's in the front of the house. She has windows that look down into the front yard. And now I'm just out there with Chris, right? He's got the SS pulled up, fucking doors open. And I'm just sitting there going like, oh my God, this is all bad. And then somehow.
90s SS Impala?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh God. Was there ever a car that was more built? Like, did the police just like contact the Chevy
and it had that
people?
Rear wheel drive. Like, it was
we
just
need
crazy
a car so we can identify people who are fucking looking for no good. Can
crazy.
You design one? Clearly
appeal
to degenerates.
Weird thing like
just
that
incredible.
It. Totally.
It's got to handle like shit and be totally overpowered. and you got to have it in colors
exactly.
of like, I remember they had that car like, in stock colors of like purple.
Yeah.
Before you would get that.
That's
like,
right.
The two cars
no aftermarket.
The two cars you could buy
yeah.
stock in purple were like a Lamborghini Gallardo and an SS Impala. So
that's right. That's right. And so I'm like,
so
fuck, dude. And so I go, he's like, where's my money at? And I'm like, I don't have it. And he's like, there's a problem, Yuri. And
no.
I'm like, I was like, I know. He's like, you start smoking again, didn't you? And I'm like, I did. I just had to come clean. I've known this dude since high school. I was like, what's up? And he was like, I'm gonna give you till Friday. You gotta give me my money. And this is it, I'm cutting you off. I ain't selling to you no more. And I was like, fuck, how am I gonna not get dope from Chris? He was like the hookup. What happened was, when you run out of money with one dealer and you owe them money though, then you gotta go to somebody else.
Yeah,
right.
So I was always like, now I had already like burnt out the three dudes that all knew each other. Mm-hmm. And now I was like going to the street to go get my shit.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't cobble it together. I don't even remember how I paid him back, but recently I was thinking about, no matter what happens to me today, like no matter how stressful life gets, nothing compares to the dope dealer showing up at 2 o'clock in the morning at your house to collect money. And it's not even your house, it's your mom's. Like, that is crazy. And I don't think, I mean, the amount of stress that that causes, even just thinking about it, the amount of anxiety, it's just crazy. You know what I mean? It really primes you for being able, if you can survive it, if you can get past it and stay alive, there's really nothing that can really fuck with you.
No. Have you ever leveled with your family about...
You're giving them project story.
Oh, I don't know if I have that one in me.
Come on. Come on, bring it.
I think the story he's talking about is I was going to see... I was, again, it's kind of a nice thing because it actually has me coming out of a movie, right? So this one is, I'm going to see Colors, okay? I'm coming out of Colors in Westwood. I'm with my friend and I'm driving. I think I had a white...
Scirocco?
No, but close. It was a white GTI.
Oh, okay.
That I had that time. So I was also...
Scirocco.
You'll have to play it back.
By the way, Scirocco.
Yeah.
White on white.
White
grill. White tires.
Yeah, that's what
it
was.
White rims, right? Yeah. Just get it.
That was it. So
get it.
I go to Westwood to see Colors. We leave. He's like, man, this really reminds me of my uncles over in Nickerson Gardens, you know? I haven't seen them for so long.
Do you know where the Nickerson Gardens are?
Yes.
Do you?
And I'm like...
It's where they shot Training Day.
It's like project. It's like one of the gnarly projects down in...
It's by far the gnarliest.
It's kind, yeah, and it's kind of over near...
It's really
Watts.
East LA, right? Yeah. Right?
No.
No, it's West. Watts. Yeah. Watts? It's Watts?
Not really, but it's sort of... It's South
Central. Between Watts and... Yeah.
It's East LA, isn't it? Or is it Watts?
So he and he goes...
Great. Where
he
is
goes,
it?
Hey, would where, do you want to go
South
meet
Central.
My uncles? You know, and dude, I'm like, I have my.
I saw it in the picture with Denzel.
Yeah,
I have my fucking snakeskin lattos on.
Yeah.
I got my fucking Emmanuel Kahn's on. I got my short set. I'm like, of course, I want to go to fucking Nickerson Gardens with. To be of course not. Is like, will you drop me off? I don't want to go. You know, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, why are you being a punk? And he's just like, I don't need to go. Like, I just drop me off. So we drop off and. And I then go down to Nickerson Gardens. Yeah. And immediately when you pull in Nickerson Gardens, you're like, oh, this isn't a movie. You know? And I've been to some pretty... I loved going to shady places. Like, yeah. I loved it.
Me
it
too.
Me too.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Super
yeah.
fun.
Oh,
yeah. It's like it's what made all of us, you know, like... Who we were, you know, uh-huh. are.
This is why we're all sitting around this table.
Right.
That
That's
I was
right.
in MacArthur Park in 1990,
totally.
In khakis,
loved
penny loafers, and a trench coat, being
loving
like,
it.
I'm sorry, sir. Is there a place where a man could purchase heroin?
Yeah.
Oh, it's love underneath it. That underpass.
Thank you.
I'll follow you.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, so my version of that is I'm in my wannabe Scirocco. We pull up, and all of a sudden, when you pull up to a house in Nickerson Gardens and it's an unfamiliar car, it's sort of like, who the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And there's dudes everywhere.
And there's dudes everywhere, you know? And so we pull up, and he's like, no, it's over here. And doesn't really go down there that much, right? So we then and
Christ,
unrolls the window,
real.
And he's like, what's up? And these dudes come out, and I'm like... Oh fuck! This is crazier than the movie I just saw. You know what the fuck?
Mm-mm-mm.
And so he goes, "Oh man, this is my uncle." Da 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 da. And they're like, "Oh okay, cool. Park right here." So they park. I go inside. This house is a straight up crack house. It is like the spot, right? And it's boarded up outside.
Really?
And it's fucked up. Yeah, it's fucked up. And when you're also in Nickerson Gardens in the late '80s now, it is black. It's like,
Christ.
Dude, you hear. It's a war zone. You hear shit popping off everywhere,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and it
yeah.
goes from being like the novelty of like, oh my God, I'm gonna have so many amazing stories, to being like, this is fucked up.
I hope I get out of here alive.
Yeah. Right. So I
got it. I'm inside, right? Like, you
and they break out some 40s, yeah, and we're hanging out, and we're drinking, and we're shooting the shit, and then leaves because it's like, oh, I'm gonna go visit my auntie around the corner, and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, huh, okay, cool, whatever. I'll just stay with these guys. These guys are my friends. This is great. I love you. These guys love me. They're like, these are my BFF. It was amazing. And like, they note me as a mark immediately, right? Because these dudes all of a sudden, then they're like, they're like, hey, can we get you anything? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I love it. This is great, you know? And so one of them then goes, oh, okay, cool. And he goes to his room and he comes back and he goes, don't fucking tell. And I'm like, tell him what? And he breaks out his little rig and he starts breaking up. Like, he has like a fat mound of rocks. And I'm like, oh shit, this is incredible. And he does this thing where he takes a clothes hanger and he
and there was none
of,
before.
No, there was none before. I mean, I had smoked, but I'm like, I'd only been there maybe 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah,
and now we're drinking and hanging out.
Leaves,
and they break out the stash.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? But, you know, I'm also like, well, who am I to refuse this experience to myself? You know what I mean?
It would be rude.
So this dude breaks out this crazy shit where he has this hanger, right, that he's curved and then pops up and there's a stem. And then in the stem, he's put a little bit of cotton, and then he's got some sort of like alcohol or something so that it's a constant flame,
yeah,
you know, that's on. And I'd never seen that before. I was like, dude, that shit's advanced. That's crazy. So he breaks out a shooter. He's got his little thing and he's packing the Brillo in, and he breaks out a fucking crazy, crazy piece, and he throws it on, you know, throws it on, and he hands it to me, right? And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, so I go and I hit it, right? And I blow it out, and I'm so sprung at this point. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna fucking die. This is fucked up, you know? Like, the minute it came out of me, I was like, what the fuck have I done? You know, because now I'm in a crack house in Nickerson Gardens. I don't know who these people are. I don't know how really I got here. And the only dude that brought me here is not even here right now.
Yeah, he's gone.
And this dude just told me to not say anything to this dude. And I'm already closeted with my shit anyways. Like, he doesn't even know.
Yeah.
So now we're all caught up in this weird boo game together. So now this dude starts smoking, then he gets sparked. And there's a lot of like, did you hear that? How do you know? Did you hear that? Like, fucked up, weird shit, right? And I'm like, oh no. And he's like, you want another one? And I'm like, no, I'm good. And he's like, no, you can take another one. And he then just is making me smoke more rocks with him. And it's just getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And I'm like, when the fuck is gonna get in here, you know?
Yeah.
So then he's like, where did you go? And I'm like, I don't know. He said he was going to see his aunt. He's like, he went to go get the cops. And I was like, no, he didn't. I don't think so. I mean, that wouldn't be. I don't think he would do that.
About his nephew?
Yeah, about his nephew. And he's just like, I haven't seen in a long time. What's he doing here? Why'd he come here today? You know, like weird, like fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. He's great. You know, he's just wanted to see you because we just saw this movie, you know? And I don't know. I mean, like, everything I'm saying is like more of a hole.
Yeah.
And I'm more sparked, and there's more gunfire going on outside. And I'm like, I just want to fucking go home. I just want to go home. He's looking out the window through the boards and the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my God. And so then finally comes in, and he's like, and he sees that like the vibe is fucking whack. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, nothing. And he's like, what? And he's like, nothing. And I'm like, no, nothing. What do you, and dude, it's just like this back and forth. And his uncle at that point, has put the shit away. And it was one of the darkest, most outrageous. Dude. And then sparked, I had to get back in my car, drive out of Nickerson Gardens, and then make it all the way home. Which thankfully I did. But the tension of dealing with smoking rocks in Nickerson Gardens with his family was fucked up.
Dude, that is
so it was so fucked up. It was so. But now I get to tell you my story.
That is fucked up. Huh. How do you know?
Dude,
how do you know?
Yeah. So sprung. One story I was thinking about earlier was when I was when I used to work. I used to work on Saved by the Bell. Did I tell you my Saved by the Bell?
Which one?
Okay, so there's one, and then I don't know if this will land, but then maybe we'll send it over to Mike. So I'm a PA on Saved by the Bell.
Yes, yeah.
Right? I'm a writer's assistant on Saved by the Bell, which is really basically a PA. Now, I was delivering pizzas still at Papa Rico's, right? But then my mom was an AD and had gotten me this job because she was like, what the fuck are you going to do? You know, it's like you're 20 years old and you're working at fucking pizza place, you know? And I'm like, I love this job. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I'm going to get you a job. So first I was an extra, and then I got upgraded to being in the office. So now all of a sudden I've got all these responsibilities, right?
I love show business, by
and
the way.
One of the responsibilities,
like, I'm working at a pizza place, and my mom's like, get a real job.
Get a real job.
We're going to get you on Saved by the Bell.
Like, no, seriously.
Get you on Saved by the Bell.
It's like a factory town, and if your parents work at the factory, that's where you fucking
love,
work.
Yeah. I mean? Exactly. I love that about L.A. Like, I love that about Hollywood. That is the most interesting Hollywood to me.
Yeah.
Is the old school business of this fucking town of making entertainment. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's so this is a very kind of boring microcosm of it, but I get this job on Saved by the Bell as a writer's assistant, right? Which basically means I get them lunches, but I think I'm like a writer's assistant. That shit has writer in it, right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to come up with stories.
Yeah, you write down ideas,
and I'm not going to write anything down, but I'm going to pitch them ideas every once in a while when I'm bringing them their lunches.
Yeah.
And I'm usually been up for days. I mean, I'm still smoking rocks regularly or doing speed. Like, that's my rhythm, you know? But now, instead of delivering pizzas, I have to actually I have to talk to people, and I have to, like, do things for them, you know? But I'm just like, dude, I don't know if I like this job, but I'm just going to hang in there.
Yeah.
Show up late every fucking day. I'm the worst, you know? Mm. I'm good when I'm there because I'm a good hustler.
Yeah.
But, like,
you and me
I'm
both,
always
man.
Late.
I'll tell you.
I'm always late. I'm always, like, the concept of petty cash, I didn't understand at all. The first time I got there, they gave me $500 cash, and I thought that was my money. Like, I literally thought, like, that's money for me now to go do whatever the fuck I want with it.
Yeah.
So I was like, so this is my money, right? And they're like, you know, this is $500. You sign out for it. When you go get lunches, you do the thing, blah, blah, blah. So I get $500 on a Tuesday. I smoke it Tuesday night. I come back the next day. I got maybe $40 left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, so we're going to send you out to go to Marino's over on Melrose because we're at Sunset Gower. We want to get you, you know, go get the writers some lunches, you know? So I go back to the producer and I go, hey, I need more money. You know, they're like, how much is the lunches? I'm like, it's like a couple $100. I need to go. He's like, well, didn't we gave you $500 yesterday? And I'm like, yeah, but it's gone. And, you know, he's like, what do you mean it's gone? And I'm like, well, like, I don't have it. You know, I don't have the money, and I need money so I can go get the lunches. You know, like, everything's like, it's, what are you, crazy? Like, what do you mean? Who cares about that? I need money and I need a thing. And he's like, well, what happened to that money though? I need to know that. I was like, don't worry about it. Like, we get paid on Friday. I'll pay it back. You know, I just, some stuff came up, you know? And they're like, that's not how petty cash works. Like, you get cash, and to get more cash, you have to show us receipts for it. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I don't have any receipts. I don't have any receipts. But I know that now. And I will do that, you know, and I'll pay it back on Friday when we get paid. He's like, all right, here's another couple $100. But even then, like, that's fireable, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's
you should be fired. Immediately. Get the fuck out of here.
That should happen to me. You'd be like, what are you, fucking crazy?
I'd say, give me my $500 and get the fuck out of here.
The beautiful thing is.
But not in show business.
Not in show business.
That's right.
Not in show business.
That's right.
So, and my poor mother, my mother had no idea because then.
She's a super Christian, by the way.
Super, but just, and a lovely
human being. The sweetest lady on the planet.
The sweetest, most well-liked person. And no one wanted to tell
that
her son was a fuck up. So I was able to, like, I didn't consciously milk that, but in retrospect, like, that's totally what was going on because it was like, we can't fire Yuri because it's going to break his heart.
Yeah.
Poor that's her son. I mean, what a fucking jackass, you know? So anyway, so I'm
like, if anybody on the whole job, if somebody had a beef with
If you met once, you wouldn't give anybody else a benefit. I'm serious. You
it would just
know.
Be so weird because she's just lovely.
You
right?
know that did the right thing. She's and whoever
lovely.
It is.
She's lovely. And she's very well liked. And yeah. so these people were just like, oh, poor this fucking jacko. just animal as a son. Aww. You know? I mean, he's a nice kid, but like, what an idiot. You know, did you hear what he did? He fucking spent the petty cash. I mean, it's like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So that was sort of like what happened the first week. So then I had another run. I used to love going on runs because then I could be away. Mm-hmm. And it went back to my pizza delivery. You know what I mean? Because pizza delivery is the best job. Yeah, because you can smoke friend. Cigarettes.
Just one.
You can never have a boss around. You just deliver pizzas. So it's quickly transactionable. Mm-hmm. And then you get the fuck out and you get
I can't
your tips,
smoke anymore.
You know, and you get a lot of cash. So not a lot, but enough to cop that night. Nice. So it's a kind of great, you know, job for me at that time. So, and I also don't like that as a PA or writers or whatever the fuck they call me, I have to get up very early, you know, and I gotta get up early and I gotta sometimes work late. You know what I mean? Like, it's not working for me, really. You know what I mean? But I want to give it a shot.
Like a job.
Yeah, it's a real job. Like, I'm
right.
not into
it's
that.
It's a real job.
You know? And also, like, nah. they don't listen no, to any of my ideas. Mm-hmm. You know what yep. I mean? That's the other thing. Like, I pitch them ideas for the show.
You did?
Yes, I pitch them ideas for the show when I'm dropping off lunches. They don't listen to me, you know? And, like, my
really?
Entitled,
no shit.
My entitled craziness was that, like, they don't even, what am I doing here? Like, what am I doing here? I'm giving them great story. What? That was such a great script? Look at it. It sucks. It's fucking Saved by the Bell. I had such a better idea. Like, it's you know, I'm a crazy person.
Yeah.
At this point. So one day it's Screech's birthday. Okay.
And, that alone is amazing.
And they're like, Yuri, we need you to go on a who wants no, they go, who wants to go on a run? And of course it's like, me, I'll go on the run. I gotta go do a run, it's fine, I'll pick it up. I need to go pick up a Hanson sheet cake, airbrush style, on Fairfax. It's my neighborhood.
Right.
I'm like, I got this. Pick it up for Screech. We're serving lunch at 1 o'clock. It's like 11 o'clock. Go pick it up. Bring it to Sunset Gower. It's got to be here because we're going to have lunch and then we're going to present it to Screech. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I hop in my car. At that time, I'm driving a yellow Corvair convertible.
Oh.
Not a good, a dope car, but not a good running around car.
Right.
It breaks down constantly. It smells like gasoline. Like, there's fucked up stuff going on with it. But it's running on this day, and I'm like, I'm early. I'm going to go see some friends. Yeah. So I go over to my boy Mark's house on Hauser and Olympic, and he's on one. And I'm like, why not? So I start smoking rocks with him, right? And now time has passed. Right, and I'm like, oh fuck.
Were you much of a?
I gotta
can
go
I
pick
ask
up
one
that
question?
Fucking cake.
All right, so I have to bring in one aside for the civilian public. Were you much of a powder coker?
What's that mean? Oh yeah, I love powder.
Did you like?
Well, that was my gateway. Like, I did powder,
was, okay.
And the powder literally ran out in the course of a summer.
Yeah,
and I gave my friend Yoon money to go cop some powder. And because we got off the street a lot, and he would then he came back with this fucking pebble.
And this is in L.A. This is in L.A.
buying. Do with this thing?
So you were buying off the street all the time in L.A.
We had like usual people
easy.
That we would hit
and
up.
Where would you go in L.A.?
Everywhere.
Six and Bonnie, right? I mean,
oh, LA. Dude, you know where Fedora never. And Olympic is?
Dude,
Fedora and Olympic was
that
like,
whole Hoover,
that was,
Bonnie Bray,
that was Zombieland, dude. There would be hundreds of people, not a few people.
MacArthur Park,
dude. Hundreds, probably thousands of people would be on the street. Like before the '92 earthquake. I mean, before the '92 riots, when like Koreatown would be like when Korean business owners basically bought like land. Grab that real estate after the riots. Like, it was fucked up, you know? Anyways,
yeah.
So I'm on my Screech run. I've started smoking I've started smoking some rocks. I'm looking at the time and I'm like, fuck. I'm supposed to be back by now, you know? So I go and I go fucking pick up the cake and now I'm fucking bolting across town. I'm sprung. I've got the cake. I know I'm late, right? And I come. After lunch, they've come back, right? And I come walking in with the cake, and I'm just, and they're just like, dude, what the fuck? You blew Screech's birthday. You blew it, you know? And I'm like, oh man, traffic, it was fucked up, my car, da 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 da. No, you know, I didn't have any change to call you from the payphone, blah, blah, blah. Just jive, dude.
Yeah.
Just like crazy fucked up shit. Another, you know, another bad day for me on Saved by the Bell, you know?
Dude.
Still didn't get fired.
Still didn't get fired. I don't even remember. I eventually got fired.
But
I
then
don't
you even got remember on the show, for. Didn't you?
But then what happened
that
was
before.
So I was an extra, right? And then I remember distinctly finally being brought into the producer's office, and they're like, this isn't working. We've tried to make this work. It's just not working. You don't really want to be here. You know, they gave me that one.
Oh, I love that.
They're like, you don't really want to be here.
You don't really want to be here. And you're like, no,
I'm like, I know.
I want to be here in this.
You're right. I don't want to be here. You're right.
You said that?
Yeah. I was like, you're right. You know? And I probably was like, you know, I try to pitch them stories. They don't listen. You know? Like, I mean, it was so fucking crazy. Dude. So crazy. You know, like, I had some, like, great storylines for Saved by the Bell, and these fools are just not listening to me. Like, they're really blowing it right now because I could be really taking the show to the next level. Anyways, so I, though, in that meeting, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, damn, I really liked it when I was an extra. Mm-hmm. Because as an extra, you only work 2 days a week. You don't really have to do shit. I could still deliver pizzas Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I come in for 2 days. You don't really have to do much,
yeah.
You know? And so in that meeting, while I'm getting fired, I'm like, how am I going to hustle my way back into being an extra? Yeah. So I just like, at the end of the meeting, I was like, so let me ask you this. Can I be an extra? Like, can I go back to being an extra? She's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I like that, you know? She's like, are you really asking me right now? I'm letting you go. Are you really asking me right now if you can come back and be on the show? And I'm like, well, yeah, because it's a very different job, you know? It's like, you know, I could still do the 2 days a week thing, you know? She was just like, she just looked at me like, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. But then she was like, just give it a couple of weeks. Give it a couple of weeks. You can't come back like next week. You just can't. And in my mind, I was like, why the fuck do I have to wait a couple of weeks? I mean, I was so not getting it, you know? Like,
dude, you
one
just
thing after
no,
another,
no, 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 no. I
after
know.
Another. Like, I just was like, it's so humiliating now to think about it, but I just was so, like, clueless.
Look at that.
Wow.
What
a fucking episode.
How far?
Oh, man.
That was Yuri.
How far?
In the early
how
days.
How far man has come.
Mm-hmm.
But how many wonderful places he's been.
The most wonderful.
The most wonderful. And yeah. Wow, what a treat. Mm.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. If you liked what you heard now, stay tuned. There will be more of that coming on our Patreon account, and we'll send out the details for that as soon as it's up and running. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram at itisallbad.
Yep.
Email us at itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your stories. If you want to be on the show, let
us
know.
We got a guest coming on in 2 weeks that's a listener that wanted to come on, and I'm so stoked about that.
Yeah, me too. I'm super looking forward to that. That's
Keith just hung out with him in Vancouver, which is fucking amazing. I was talking to him about
insane.
That last night. Yeah.
Yeah, what was that? Keith was just looking for a meeting lead up in Vancouver
and they hung out, and amazing. He was like, fuck, wait till you hear his stories, you know?
I heard something about somebody being upside down in a trout stream trying to catch trout or whether, I don't know.
On acid?
Yeah. On acid, something like that. So that sounds like fun. Danny, as always, it's a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure is all mine.
That's right.
So and like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube.
Yeah.
I think you just search. I found it, Charlie, without your help.
Oh, you did?
Yes, beautiful. I found it. I searched for It's All Bad Podcast, and we came up. We were like the second
thing
on
Google or on YouTube?
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Look at us.
Look at
we'll have the video back.
Yeah.
We got, you know.
Yeah, no video on this one.
Yep.
No video on this one.
We can't go back in time to record fucking video.
Yeah, we can't do that. But soon, we'll be back on television again, Mom.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. Yeah.
Yep.
Next week. Stay tuned.
Next week.
The cool part is I could recycle my outfit that I wore for last week's video recording. Which is great.
Yeah,
you got you guys got something to look forward to.
No, that's good.
That's beautiful sweatshirt.
That was a beautiful shirt. I love that shirt.
Yeah.
All right, secrets. We will keep that a secret until next week. Come tune in to see what Danny was wearing. All right, bye.
All right, bye, guys.
Later.